exhibitions. That's what these are. These contests under the lights on warm August nights don't affect standings or statistics. But while wins and losses may not be relevant, every play matters. You can be sure of that.
Here goes Depp at midfield. He needs a block. He's in the end zone.
Oh, that's going to be a touchdown, Chiefs. Malcolm Brunson.
Travis Kelce. He outran Cincinnati.
And there goes Albert Wilson.
To many of the men in Chiefs jerseys, each of these four nights is a chance to show their worth.
He's got a legit chance to win the job.
Each is filled with moments where every thought is judged and every move measured.
Intercepted.
These nights allow them to prove the pain, exhaustion, and sacrifice was all worth it.
Cam Newton goes down at the eight.
To them, this is not an exhibition. It is an opportunity.
Kicks a 54-yard field goal.
That opportunity won't be there much longer.
Welcome to this edition of Chiefs Blueprint. Now, training camp continues, presented by Mosaic Life Care, but now camp presumes in Kansas City. This show is going to be very different than the last one. Remember last week we talked about how it was a grind of practice after practice after practice in St. Joe. But now the team has three preseason games in a span of 11 days. So how does Andy Reid adjust to that schedule? You'll like our Mic'd Up segment because we have a player that you've fallen in love with over the past 2 years. He is becoming the preeminent nose tackle in the entire National Football League. A great blend of size, speed, and agility in Dontari Poe. The best news for you, he's the closest thing to the enemy quarterback and the enemy heartbeat as he literally breathes fire on the football. But we'll be right in the middle of that defense with Dontari Poe. We'll continue with defense. I have an exclusive chat with defensive coordinator Bob Sutton. There are still 18 defensive backs left on the roster. That is soon to change. But we'll sit down with Bob Sutton. What does he want out of his defense in 2014? He's got some new wrinkles. But what does he want out of his defensive backs at corners and safety to make big plays on the back end? And we'll give you a sneak preview of the award-winning, Emmy-winning Chiefs Kingdom show. We'll spend time with one of my favorite players of all time in the Chiefs Kingdom, Derek Johnson. Most of you know he's on the verge of becoming the all-time tackle leader in Chiefs history. But we're going to go back to his college days. We're going back to Austin, Texas, to the University of Texas, where Derek Johnson was arguably the top defensive player in college football in 2004, which made him the Chiefs' number one draft pick in 2005. But first, let's go right to the center of it all, right in the middle of that Chiefs defense, mic'd up with Pro Bowler Dontari Poe.
You living to the ball at all times, bro. Yeah. We gonna play. Yeah. We gonna do what we need to do, dog.
Right, yeah.
Point blank, period. Come on, man.
Everything is pretty much, you know, we kind of know what's going on. Last year we came in kind of blind and not knowing. So this year we know what to expect. We knew how it was gonna go. So you just try to come in and just rev it up a notch from where we was at last year and just do the best you can.
We hitting that ground, baby.
Nothing too much changes as far as what you do preparing, but you just going to the offseason knowing what's coming, so you got to rev it up, you know, from what you did last year because everything from last year to this year kind of steps up a notch. So, you know, whether it's opponents, whether it's practice, whatever it may be, you know, you just got to be at a high level.
Ball out, boy. What we doing today? Putting the ball out.
We got a lot of people that's new to it, but at the same time, we got people that know the system. That pretty much knows how to play football in itself.
There we go. There we go, Jay.
There we go, Mike.
You know, those guys, you know, being with me and around me, it makes me feel real comfortable, and I hope I do the same for them. So I think it's real good just the camaraderie we have and just us playing together. Like I said, for going on my second year in this system, I think it's pretty much the best thing for us.
These white jerseys, we flying.
Yeah.
Wherever the ball at, we flying.
Yeah.
Y'all already know. Let's go, bro.
There you go.
Defense on three. One, two, three.
Defense.
Woo! Never been too much of a vocal guy, but all throughout my career, I kind of been leading by example. I feel like if you do the right things and the young guys see it, they'll pick up on it and do it as well. So pretty much not too much to talk about when you're out there. As long as you're doing it, as long as you're running around, as long as you got energy, they can't really do nothing but do the same thing. So I feel like it's kind of affecting them in that way the best I can.
Hey, anybody playing out here? We challenging? Jog it out, jog it out. Let's go, let's go, let's go. We're not going to get any better playing soft out here.
And everything is fast, everything is physical. You're running everywhere you go. So you're whipping yourself into shape as practice goes on. So pretty much no offense is too fast, too physical. I mean, you got to maintain your strength doing what I do in the trenches, you know, in the middle of it all. You got a lot of people pushing on you, a lot of double teams coming. And for me, it's just pretty much a mental thing. Never ease up, because I feel like once you start easing up, there's no stopping to it. So everything I pretty much do, I try to go in head first and just do the best I can with it.
The Chiefs Kingdom is back. Arrowhead Stadium is back.
Anytime I go out there and I get on those lights, it juices me up. So I just get going, man. It's really not too much of a secret. But while I'm out there, I'm juiced up like it's a regular game.
Chiefs Blueprint is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. And by the Chiefs Tailgate Party, presented by Bud Light. Get your tickets today at primesport.com/Chiefs. Coming up on Chiefs Blueprint.
You always have to go back to page one, really. You start with the basics, and every season, you know, has a life of its own, and every training camp does too. So this is really the time you're building your foundation technique-wise for the entire year.
Welcome back to Chiefs Blueprint. Now, when I talk to Chiefs defensive players, there's one common theme. They all love playing for Chiefs defensive coordinator Bob Sutton, and they love his schemes. Now, with one full offseason nearly under his belt, I had a chance to talk with Sutton to see what he has planned for 2014. One thing is for certain, Bob Sutton will be aggressive.
Bob, when you look at last year and then coming into this training camp, what has been your point of emphasis in to improve this defense?
Well, I think you always have to go back to page one, really. You know, you start with the basics, and every season, you know, has a life of its own, and every training camp does too. So this is really the time you're building your foundation technique-wise for the entire year, because as the season goes, you know, we're very limited in contact practices. The way Andy runs camp, we get a lot of reps, which is fantastic, you know, so you can zero in whether you're a D lineman working on hand placement or a DB working on your footwork or whatever it is. But this is a real crucial and pivotal time. And, you know, I think one of the challenges for players is that, you know, you can never let boredom enter the process. You have to do those same drills with a new intensity and new focus each day. The cumulative effect, that's pretty positive.
I want to ask you about your front seven. It appears your depth has improved a great deal. How better are you in that front seven?
Well, I think our depth, particularly at the linebacker position, inside and outside, has improved greatly. And then interior-wise, you know, we have some guys that are moving parts. It's been a good process for us that way, but I think we have a really good nucleus.
Your pressure packages, you've shown a lot during training camp. For those to work, what has to happen?
You have to stop the run. You like teams to be one-handed. That allows you to attack in different ways. There's a lot of elements that go into it, Mitch. There's the disguise factor. There's the complementary factor. You know, that's our fastball. This is our curveball. And I think that's important for us. But there's a lot of techniques that go into those pressures that the players work really hard on. Because a lot of the elements are the same, whatever pressure we do. It's just different people doing them. And then, you know, you have to do it with speed and force. If you don't bring speed and you don't bring force, you're going to have a hard time affecting the quarterback. Raise the heartbeat a little bit of that guy, you know, because if they can sit back there calm and cool, you know, some of these guys are pretty good. So you don't always sack them, but you want to affect them.
Seeing more college-type formations and plays enter the NFL game, what about defending those kind of plays, 5 to 7 to 12 yards, And what has to happen to improve in that area?
Well, I think that we're uptight, you know, so we're going to discourage maybe a few more of those than the teams that play off. But there's no question the influence of college football is coming into the NFL because those are the players that are coming in, you know, especially at the quarterback positions. They're used to doing these things. You know, the zone read is becoming more common in our football in the NFL, and it's just becoming a play that you have to know how to defend no different than any other play.
Final question. It's with your back end. 18 guys right now that you've got at DB. It seems wide open. What about that group in total, and what has to happen back there for your defense to improve?
Well, I think, you know, the style that we play where we're going to challenge almost every throw, which is what we like to do. You know, we don't like anybody to feel comfortable throwing the ball. And if you do complete it, we want it in a tight window where we're close by. And we want you to know that if you make a mistake, it could be costly to you. The other side of that coin is, you know, you have to be able to do that down low challenge and still prevent the ball from being thrown over the top. So that puts a lot of pressure on the corners. That's where disguise comes in a little bit, and also where your rush comes in, you know, and we've got some guys that can rush the passer. So I think that's important. So we've tried to put a bigger emphasis, obviously, on, you know, not giving up the big play. Anything that isn't allowing him to operate as comfortable as he'd like. And that's really the objective of what we're trying to do. And then, you know, you come down to third down. You win on third down. So that's why it starts, hey, stuff that dang run, and then let's go see if we can challenge all the throws and make them compete in that area. And no, hey, there's some pressure on those corners because they're up there tight all the time. And, you know, every defense that you have, somebody has a hard job. There's one guy that has a really hard job, and we try to tell everybody that, hey, he's got the hard job on that. Don't lose confidence in this guy. Don't lose confidence in the defense if they happen to hit one on us. That's part of the game. Get back in the huddle. Let's go. And it's a combination. You know, they don't defend the passes by themselves. You know, there's a lot of other guys involved there.
When we return,
you knew that there was a distinct possibility that this guy would be special.
I think he might have even played beyond expectations. You just don't quite know how those things are going to work out, but gosh, what a college career he had.
Welcome back to Chiefs Blueprint. The number is 999, and it's sat there since 1986. That's the number of tackles by Gary Spaney, the all-time tackle leader in Chiefs history. That's about to change. The meter's about ready to turn to 1,000. And the guy that will turn the meter is Derek Johnson, the Chiefs' great Pro Bowl linebacker. To honor Derek Johnson's great career, our award-winning 65 TPT crew is spending an entire episode of the Chiefs Kingdom show to Derek's background. But for a sneak preview, let's take a look at just how dominant DJ was during his time wearing the burnt orange of the University of Texas.
Yeah, this is a trophy room hallway. It's where all the greats are. Earl Thomas, Ricky Williams, Vince Young, award-winning guys. This is our trophy room. Heisman winners, Maxwell winners, Thorpe winners. They see the display. One of my accomplishments up here, which is the Nagurski Award, which is the best defensive player in the nation award. I was a young buck then, but there I go right here. The picture's a little old, but that's because it was a long, long ancient time ago. But it's, you know, it's one of those things where you look back and all the hard work paid off.
Well, mostly what we knew about Derek was that he was a terrific athlete. If I remember correctly, you know, he played basketball, he ran track, could have been a sprinter in track in college probably, maybe even an Olympian if he had wanted to pursue that. But he was a much sought after, very athletic linebacker, and one of the key early cogs in Mack Brown's foundation, you know, getting started here at Texas.
When you've got a guy playing on the defensive side that can run with running backs step for step in 100 meters, they're 6'3" or 6'4", then can close like he can close, then you knew that there was a distinct possibility that this guy would be special.
I think he might have even played beyond expectations. You just don't quite know how those things are going to work out, but gosh, what a college career he had.
Johnson with the interception.
Pass swatted away by guess who?
Derrick Johnson with another big hit for Texas.
The best defensive football player in the country.
Derrick Johnson's got it. And he's brought down by Derrick Johnson. That's an All-American play.
Quite frankly, he rose faster and higher than I thought he would early on. But by the time he was a junior at the University of Texas, he was well established as one of the premier linebackers to ever come out of Texas.
Well, they allowed me to freelance a little bit. They kept me in the middle of the field to make most of the plays on defense.
And his speed is the thing that jumped out at you. I mean, he was the prototypical outside linebacker. Like Darrell Royal might have said, he was faster than small-town gossip. But more than anything, his distinctive style was his ability to strip ball carriers of the ball. And that's probably what I'm going to remember the most about him.
Anthony Gregg looking for a block. Turns the corner at midfield. Run out of bounds. That ball puts loose. Upfield. It's loose on the turf.
Well, guess who caused that fumble? I would think it's number 11.
He played against Oklahoma University. And that's where that infamous ball knockout. That's what we was taught by our high school coaches. Always secure the tackle with your arm around the guy just in case you don't get the strip and you can still make the tackle. Well, he secured the tackle and he'll punch that ball out. And I was like, man, he's doing some super stuff.
Here's White rolling to the right side. Derrick Johnson chasing him. He's going to run for it. And the ball is punched down. It's loose on the turf.
He just had that uncanny knack. He'd bring his arm way back and be like a jackhammer. And the ball would come flying out of the ball carrier's grip like it shot out of the cannon.
And the ball popped loose.
And he did that over and over again.
Derrick Johnson causes this fumble, his outstanding speed.
And in 40 years of covering Longhorn football, I can't remember one other player that had that knack like he did.
In his senior year at Texas, Derrick put together one of the best seasons by a linebacker that his alma mater had ever seen, leaving a lasting imprint in one of the nation's most storied college programs.
He was the first consensus All-American in 20 years. I mean, he made every All-American team. Football Writers, Associated Press, Walter Camp. I think if Ladies Home Journal had an All-American team, he'd have been on that too. So it just seemed like Derrick set himself apart that year.
My last year at Texas, finishing 12-1. The only game we lost was against Oklahoma. That still haunts me to this day.
He had a special year, an outstanding year, and they haven't had a player like him since at linebacker.
It's one of those things at Texas, you know, you look back and I'm very humbled and blessed to have done as much as I've done here. It's a great feeling and makes me want to work that much harder. It's great to look at it. Still motivates me to this day. I definitely don't look at it and say, oh, I've arrived, because it's a great thing about football. You never arrive.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Chiefs Blueprint. All right, there's one more preseason game. The Chiefs take on the Green Bay Packers, a team that many think will challenge Seattle and San Francisco in the NFC. But really, it's decision time. Big decisions. As the Chiefs start to chisel away to make their 53-man roster that they'll use to take on the Tennessee Titans in regular season game number one. Camp battles loom. Kicker battle. Third quarterback. Defensive back. And we'll have you there every step of the way, right here on Chiefs Blueprint.
Chiefs Blueprint is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. And by the Chiefs Tailgate Party, presented by Bud Light. Get your tickets today at primesport.com/Chiefs.